welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB, Windsor, Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Before we get to our guest this evening, we would like to acknowledge that this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month and also Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
And speaking of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, just to let everyone know, Diana, our very own Dr. Diana Grayer, will be sharing another spoken word piece for the YWCA's Changing Hurt to Hope Writers Speak Out Against Domestic Violence.
And you will be accompanying me on the drum.
That's right. I will be accompanying you on your spoken word piece or in your spoken word piece on djembe. And anyway, the opening gala is this Thursday night, October 9th, at the Finley Center in Santa Rosa. And in celebration of their fifth anniversary of doing this event, the YWCA has published an anthology called Cry of the Nightbird. And I think there's like 30 pieces in there, and two of them are yours, Diana. Thank you, Mama. And Fear into Fierceness, Divine Wisdom.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing, Di. So congratulations. And then later in this month, if you can't make the Santa Rosa event on the 9th, we will be in Petaluma on the 23rd, and we'll be in Cloverdale on the 30th. If you want more information, go to the YWCA, their Sonoma website.
Yeah, YWCA.org. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to see some of your faces out in the audience. So getting to our guests, we have in studio Bree Jane and Jenny Naylor. Welcome, you two.
Thank you.
Bree is a counselor, and she works at a crisis residential treatment center. And Jenny is a veterinarian technician, or nurse, they're calling them now, right?
Yes.
Correct? And we'll learn more about that later. But welcome. We're so excited to have you both here.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank
a lot.
Thank you.
And they're coming up on their one-year anniversary in November, so it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we met Bree last May when we were invited by Susan Gilbert to speak as guests at the GSA, the Petaluma GSA at Casa Grande High School. And you were one of the, like, mentors for Positive Images, or?
Yeah, it was Positive Images had launched a Petaluma group supporting LGBT youth. At the Petaluma group, it's ages 12 to 18. And I think that month our theme was love. And Susan had thought of you guys very fondly to come and talk to the kids about your relationship and love and give different perspectives on all that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was a facilitator of the group and was helping launch it.
Mm-hmm. So we were really impressed with Bree, so we decided to ask her to come on the show and bring her beautiful... beautiful Jenny to share in a conversation with us. So
we have a lot to learn about Bree and Jenny and their life together and their work and their, oh, I don't know, how they navigate the world, right? So, but yeah. Before we get to them, of course, here's news and events with our dear, dear friend and Outbeat member and our engineer, tonight's engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, October 5th, 2014. On Monday last week, the U.S. Supreme Court held its first conference of the new session and considered whether to take up marriage equality as a case this year. Later in the week, the justices released the first list of cases to which they will grant a review, and there were no marriage cases on that list. So what does this mean? Well, in general, it means the justices need more time to consider to take a case. They have additional conferences scheduled from now until the end of their term, so there's no telling exactly when they'll finally choose to hear a case, or choose to reject them all. Recently, Justice Ruth Ginsburg suggested that the court would wait until there is disagreement between appellate courts. Looking ahead to upcoming appellate rulings, a decision is due any day now from the Ninth and Sixth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit is likely to agree with the other circuits that found marriage bans to be unconstitutional. The Sixth Circuit is a little bit harder to predict, but so far all lower court rulings within this circuit have rejected marriage bans as well. If a disagreement is to come, there's a good chance it would be from the Fifth Circuit, which covers Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas. And in Washington, D.C., a planned screening of the movie Milk, chronicling the life of gay rights pioneer Harvey Milk, was scrapped by the Catholic University of America this Wednesday after administrators said the showing of the film violated campus policy. Jackson Tovar, a student member of the College Democrats, the group that was to host an event called Milk and Cookies, said, "I was extremely disappointed that this was happening. I thought this was an incredibly asinine decision that the school made." According to event organizers, administrators at the university approved the event and its flyers and posters last month. Students were invited to hear talks from John White, a politics professor at the university, and Kevin Walling, an alum and chair of the Montgomery County Democrats, about the effects of gay rights movement on the Democratic Party. After the talks, there was to be a showing of the movie Milk, along with free milk and cookies. The evening was based on a 2011 event held at the same university. But students say school officials told them that to postpone the event, citing a concern over the size of a rainbow flag on the flyer, as well as the event's description, "Kick off LGBT Awareness Month." The university does not allow student groups to hold events that advocate for positions contrary to teachings of the Catholic Church. And here in California, the state's become the first to officially ban the use of trans panic and gay panic defenses in court. Last month, the California Assembly passed a bill by a vote of 50-10, sending the bill to the governor's desk for signature. The bill, authored by Assemblywoman Susan Bonilla, bars the use of panic defenses in California criminal courts, and this week, the governor signed the bill into law. In the past, defendants in murder cases were often able to argue their way to a lesser charge of manslaughter if the killings happened during a sudden quarrel or in the heat of passion, which frequently saw defendants claiming they were so shocked to learn the victim was gay or trans that they had no other recourse besides violence. The new law clearly outlines that a defendant's discomfort with surprise at or fear of the victim's sexual orientation or gender identity may not be used as a legal defense to justify the assault. Do you have the new KRCB app? Well, now you can listen to your favorite radio programs like Outbeat Radio on the go from anywhere in the world with access to the internet. The new KRCB app can be downloaded for free right now at the Apple Store or Google Play. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, October 6th at 5:30 p.m., the Petaluma Health Center will host an LGBT support group at 1179 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. Also on Monday at 7 p.m., the Parents of Transgender Youth Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. On Tuesday, October 7th at 10 a.m., the Napa LGBT Older Adults Discussion will gather at the Queen of the Valley Community Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And on Saturday, October 11th at 5:30 p.m., the Russian River Sisters present Jungle Book Bingo at Guerneville Veterans Memorial Hall, 1st and Church Streets in Guerneville. The event will benefit TLC Children and Family Services. You can purchase tickets now online at rrsisters.org. And finally, if you haven't seen the documentary short Bobby Joe, Journey of a Singer-Songwriter, the story of local singer-songwriter Bobby Joe Valentine, the film will show at the Petaluma International Film Festival on Saturday, October 18th at 5:30 p.m. This will take place at the Boulevard 14 Cinemas, 200 C Street in Petaluma. For more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And if you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatnews.com. Follow us all week long on Facebook and Twitter for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And welcome back, everybody. If you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and I'm Sheridan. And we're in studio this evening with Bree Jane and Jenny Naylor. Welcome back, you two. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. We're really excited to have you both, as I said before, because especially because we met Bree, and especially because young love. We want to know about young love. I mean, you've been together about a year in November.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us the beginning. How is it to be? Because I'm thinking about, like, when we grew up, everything was closeted, you know, in the 70s, you know. So right now, things are more free. Would you agree or disagree?
Definitely. Especially where we live. And I lived there previous to us getting together. So for me, it's like not even a second thought. We're out in Guerneville, you know. So I mean, it's something that I feel no inhibition about. I'm just totally open with it. I'm not nervous about it. I don't think twice about it. And I don't think that anyone around me even looks at it differently, which I know is not true.
But you're comfortable. That's
wonderful. Yeah. 100% comfortable about it.
Yeah. I think that's actually one of the cooler differences with me and Jenny. I think for me, being gay, it's always been kind of a struggle because I carried so much shame around it. So I still carry vigilance about it in a way that she really doesn't.
Say more about that. What do you mean you carry vigilance?
I'm just more aware, I think, of my environment, who I'm around. In particular, in our relationship, like if we're out in public, like where I'm holding her hand, like who's around, like what kind of area I'm in. What people are around, I can say it's a lot less than it used to be. And I also attribute a lot of that to Jenny not having that. I feel like it's been an interesting double-edged sword for me because it's like, it's really clear that same, kind of vigilance and carefulness she doesn't have. And I very much do. So it's kind of like a difference in perspectives that, I think ultimately it gives me more permission to do the same. But I feel like because it was such a struggle for me to come out and just be okay with being gay that I feel it a little bit more than she does. But I can say that, in terms of our relationship and just like being out in the world and being really clear on being in a relationship, like, when I've gone and hung out with Jenny's friends and with her coworkers, like I've felt very safe and very accepted and like no one's thought any differently. And we live out in Guerneville, which, you know, it's a very like accepting environment in that regard. So
are there any situations that have come up where you felt like, okay, with her friends, okay, good, but somewhere else, is there any conflict around, like, Jenny is saying, hold my hand, and you're saying, no, this is not a good place, or it's not safe. I mean, have that ever come up? Because I've heard many stories like this.
With Jenny, it hasn't, actually. Yeah, I can say, like, throughout my time with Jenny, it hasn't. I think I felt it probably more in the past, like in my hometown with like previous girlfriends and stuff like that. But yeah, I think honestly since I've been with Jenny, like it hasn't come up, which is actually kind of affirming for me. So
me as well.
That's kind of
good. So tell us how you both met.
Well, we met in recovery. We were in the same, like, kind of recovery group, I was a part of that for about 6.5 years, and I've since kind of emancipated myself from that group, and Jenny's kind of moved on and I think found her own community with it. And so when we met, and we've kind of talked about this, we kind of met at a very, like, unlikely time, so we were both kind of going through these, like, pretty intense personal transformations. You know, for me, it was kind of deciding to kind of walk away from this community that had really, like, helped me grow up and helped me achieving sobriety and being clear and more conscious, as well as I'd actually interviewed with this new company that I work for that I love and that is really, like, healthy and just wonderful. And then I'd actually, like, gotten out of a really intense relationship. And And so there was just a lot of changes kind of happening. And then it was like, Jenny shows up. And it and so there were all these parts of me that were kind of like, oh, should I really go here? This seems like a lot of things happening. But my experience was kind of like, I kind of always revert back to a friend of mine told me once, like, you regret the things you didn't do more than the things you did. And I remember whenever I get to that point, it was kind of like, I feel like I would regret not finding out what this is here with Jenny. Than if I was just like, you know what, this is too much. I don't want to deal with it. But maybe you want to.
Well, we were definitely at two huge points of transformation. I was going from using substances for half my life as a coping mechanism to not using them, and to dealing with my depression and my anxiety, and how to function in the real world, having to cope with my feelings. And, you know, there were definitely points where I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is almost as complicated as I could possibly make this process. I don't think I could pick a situation that would be more of a life change. But with that being said, I'm definitely not one to turn down a challenge. So, you know, it was kind of just the same sort of thing. Well, you know, I could kind of shut myself off from this and just walk away. Or I could see what happens. And, you know, I think we're still going through that adjustment period of both trying to get our, you know, our wheels rolling, same time, same direction, all those things. Because the things we've gone through within the last year, you know, even individually, have been huge and have been stressful and difficult and complete opposite of what we're used to. So to simultaneously try to cope with life in a new way and then be in a relationship, it's a doozy. But I definitely, it was definitely worth it. And I think that so much of Bree's appeal to me was the challenge. She didn't let me just hide. She didn't let me just smile and be cute and pretend everything was fine. She really, you know, she not aggressively, but she really pushed me to be like, no, you're not fine. Or no, you like, we need to deal with this. Or tell me how you actually feel. And I'd never put myself in a position where I wanted that or that was an option. And, you know, majority of the time I still don't want that. But that doesn't keep her from, you know, getting it out of me. So I think that all in all, it was kind of one of those things like all this is going on, but this is going to be the cherry on top. So kind of just like hold on and it's going to be good.
I think that's a good way of putting it. Just like, hang on. Like, we knew it was going to be a doozy and we knew it was going to be hard. And I think ultimately, like, when it comes down to it, like, both of us go, like, but this is worth it. Like, this is worth it.
So who approached who?
How did that? I've been wondering about that because I remember when I saw Jenny. Me and Jenny are the same age. Like, she's a little bit older.
So how old are you for folks that can't see
okay.
you?
Okay, I'm 26.
And I'm 26, to be 27 in a couple weeks.
Yeah. And I remember seeing her and thinking she was much older. And I remember thinking, like, here's this woman, like, in her 30s. She's gorgeous. And I remember actually thinking, like, she's probably going to be a total jerk. Like, that was, like, my thought.
Oh, wow.
And I've kind of, like, reflected on that and going, like, was I just, like, that intimidating because, like, she's so gorgeous? Like, just flat out. And I think I approached you, but it was, like, a friend kind of, like, shoved me into it. It was very weird. It felt kind of coerced, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, started talking to her, and then all of a sudden it was, like, she was so nice, and she was so friendly, and she was really bubbly, and it felt very, like, authentic. It didn't feel false, and so I just remember, like, immediately going, like, oh, wow, I was so wrong about this person, you know? So yeah, we met at like a group gathering, and then And then we left, and I didn't think, like, I was really ever going to see her again. It was kind of like, whatever. But then we both showed up at the same place again and saw her again, and we just started talking, and I was just, like, totally blown away by her. I just felt, like, very, very captivated by her positivity, and she was very different, you know? She was raised by Buddhist parents, and, like, that was very much ingrained in her, and that was very different, but held a lot of, like, philosophies that I identified with. So I think we kind of connected on an intellectual level in the beginning. But, yeah, I think that's what I have to say about that.
You know, I think initially it was, you know, like, oh, nice to meet you. I definitely was drawn to her confidence, her eloquence. She's very well-spoken. She's very – the way she carries herself – you can tell that she's very present, and she puts a lot into the person that she is, not in a false way, but in a proud way. And that's something that I personally never felt with my history, my past, and what I was coming out of. Wanting to be seen and heard and be viewed as present and there was something I avidly avoided, like the plague. So to see that in someone else who I could communicate with and relate with was, you know, so enticing, and it was so, almost felt alien. And then for it to be someone in my age group and someone who was in a similar life situation and, you know, who wasn't terrified or put off by, you know, the current situation that I was dealing with, recovery and dealing with, you know, my depression and those things, someone who didn't go running for the hills when those things came up. And I think it did start as just, you know, this very theoretical, vague conversation. And we both beat around the bush for a very, very long time. And it was kind of this like, well, what if, and maybe will, and, you know, so it was this kind of, we definitely did this dance for a while where neither of us really admitted that we were attracted and we wanted to see what would happen. But we were both very clear on we were attracted and wanted to see what would happen. So there was this kind of unspoken presence between us that, you know, it obviously was pretty impossible to walk away from. So
you are up for the challenge.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yes. So, Bree, I'm curious about that strength, that inner strength that you have. And we noticed that when you're facilititating at the GSA meeting as well. So, yeah, could you share a little bit about where that came from, to be able to challenge this woman that you had a crush on? Not to send her running.
I guess... you know, like, being, like, a psychology major and just, like, working in kind of the healing community and, you know, with Positive Images, I've been with them for, like, 7 years and do peer counseling trainings. It's, like, I'm always going inward and I'm always trying to find my own boundaries and kind of break them down and just, like, find what's underneath, like, find where I limit myself. I kind of hold the belief that, you know, I can change my reality through changing my own perceptions and changing my own belief systems, you know, kind of figuring out that stuff. And so I think it's that, and it's funny, and I think this is particularly with me and Jenny where there's some balance is because it's not that Jenny doesn't do that. I think I would have a hard time respecting someone who just didn't want to grow in any way. And she very much does and very much has like a desire to evolve, but she also has the ability to really like just be and just be present and like find joy in the simple things. Like she absolutely loves nature and loves animals and, finds all that, and I think that's the part that I really appreciate about her. So I think the strength she's talking about and that I've gotten feedback about is just kind of my own sense of just wanting to like evolve and wanting to be as conscious and aware of a human being as I possibly can. I really do like authentically just love people, and I like love the work I do and working with people who are really struggling, you know, with mental illness or, you know, some psychiatric disabilities or even just like tough circumstances. And then like working with the kids at Positive Images and working, in the coming out process or, just trying to find a community to be supportive. I feel like in order to be able to connect with all people that I need to like go inward and find like all those kind of different facets and mysteries of myself. And I just have this like really, I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like I'm like demolishing like my inner psyche sometimes. So I need to lighten up a little bit, but I'm just kind of always doing that. And at the same time, I've been doing that for so long. I am very grounded in it, and I'm very grounded in like, that's just kind of who I am and where I go. Like, I don't like realizing I'm closed-minded to something or realizing I'm not aware of something, having it brought to my attention and then being like, I don't want to go there. You know what I mean? Like, that feels uncomfortable to like try and expand myself. I just feel like this need to like be like, okay, like what is that? Mm-hmm. You know? So I kind of feel like that might be what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious about something you said earlier, uh-huh. maybe 5 minutes ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned your hometown and your struggle.
Right.
And I'm, you know, if I was a listener, I'd go, well, what hometown and what struggle? So I have those questions, and I'm sure people listening have those questions as well.
Yeah. So I grew up in Novato, and I wouldn't say Novato is like a particularly, you know, like, for lack of better words, like kind of bigoted town or anything like that. I think for me, it was more about just the history and like being known there as, growing up, it was kind of like, I think I wanted to consider myself just like asexual because, at some point I became aware of like being gay and really resented it and really hated it and ran from it and did everything I could to like not be that. And because I couldn't at the same time like pretend to just be this really girly girl who was like totally attracted to guys, like I couldn't do that either. So like the best way to do it would be like just abstain from the conversation and abstain from kind of romance and sexuality in like any form. So I think when I was kind of referring to like going back to my hometown, it was like that image that I created there and then coming back with a new perception. You know, I think even just the process of like chopping off all my hair. I know when I met you guys, I had this long ponytail and I've had that since like fifth grade and I've recently chopped off all my hair. And I really attribute a lot of that kind of courage and acceptance to actually like being with Jenny. I feel like Jenny gives me a lot of permission to do things I was previously like fearful to do. And that was one of the things that I looked at it and I was like, you know, the only reason I grew my hair on the first place was to appear more girly and not appear as this stereotypical lesbian. And, cause I can't wear dresses. Jenny loves dresses. So that works. I can't wear like girly clothes. Like, and so going back to my hometown where I remember feeling that fear of judgment all the time, you know, was really difficult. So it's like even going back with like my new haircut, it's like, you know, I still have some like anxiety about like, God, what if I run into like people from high school, like, you know, and things like that. And so, yeah, I guess I do feel very lucky to grew up in Novato where I lived. I felt like I was safer than most people I've met for sure. I think for me, it was more of like this internal struggle. I feel like by the time I came out, it was more of a sigh of relief for my family because I think they really saw me struggle a lot, you know, just with mental health issues, with substance and alcoholism and all that. And it was kind of like once I said it and once I did that, like my family just could finally exhale and just be like we're on the path, you know. It didn't feel like this, like, oh, my God, we never expected this. You know, I think, like, my mom's words were actually like, yeah, I knew since you were three. And
your mom knew since you were three?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, I think my dad said something else along the lines, but overall across the board it was like, you know, like, we love you, we're so proud of you. And so it was kind of like, once I just stopped fighting that, I think like life got a lot better in general.
Yeah. Well, yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to take a little music break right now.
Yeah, that sounds good. But first, I would like to compliment you on your hairdo.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You wear it well. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, perfect. It feels so much more me. Jenny put a bunch of pictures of us up, and I still have the ponytail. And I feel bad because they're great pictures of her, but I'm like, I hate them. Like, we need new ones. You know? So... So, yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Diana, for acknowledging how beautiful you are, Bree. You are. So you all brought a song, Kiss Me Slowly. Why don't you talk to us about it? We'll take a little music break and come back, because I know everybody's really interested in Jenny. And Diana mentioned, or Jenny, you mentioned, or Bree mentioned Buddhist parents. Somebody mentioned it. And, you know, I'm like, whoa, what's that about? So to be continued. But let's just take a music break now. Who wants to introduce your song?
I think Jenny designated me for this one.
Yes, so
this is really like our song, because it's about, you know, like falling in love, but like both people kind of being scared. And it's mostly the guy talking to, I'm assuming, a girl, but maybe it's a boy, who knows. But it's basically like just the idea of like, when it gets really hard, like, don't run, just go slower. You know, and so the Kiss Me Slowly is kind of like the same idea, but that's why I really like it, because with our relationship, like I said, there's been so much going on in like our own personal lives that being together has required that we go even slower and that we be even more gentle. And it's hard to do that when we kind of like live in a world that's like, go faster, work harder, try harder, and our and our experiences, like, when we do that, like, it actually gets worse, like, you know. So the song's kind of just the idea of like, so when you get scared, don't run, you know, just kiss me slowly.
And who's singing this song?
By Parachute. And I don't really know the band at all. Like, I don't really know where the song came from or where I heard it, but I just remember when I first started hanging out with Jenny and the song came on, it was just like, it just felt perfect for us.
Well, I'm not sure what this is gonna be, but with my eyes closed, all I see is the sky.
And if you just joined us, that was Kiss Me Slowly by Parachute, a song that Jenny and Bree love, and they call it their song. So it was very beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thanks.
So if you just joined us once again, this is Living Proof. I'm Sheridan. I'm here with my wife, Diana, and we are in studio with Jenny Naylor and Bree Jane, and they are experiencing their one-year anniversary in a month, and we've been talking about life. And so we left off right before the music break that Jenny was raised by some Buddhist parents and in Fairfax.
In Fairfax.
So why don't you give us a little taste of how that was for you?
Awesome. You know, I was born in Oakland, that area, East Bay, grew up until about until grade school in El Cerrito. So we spent a lot of time in Berkeley. And, you know, I've just been very fortunate to always be surrounded by a very accepting, supportive community. So we moved to Fairfax because my parents were part of a group who started a meditation center up there called Spirit Rock.
Oh.
So I've been going to Spirit Rock, like, I was in my mother's womb when they were out there buying the property. So both of my parents met at a Buddhist retreat center in Massachusetts, and are both dedicated practitioners of Buddhism. I was raised with a lot of the, you know, the sort of freedom, the acceptance, and the idea of, you know, that life is life, and, you know, a certain amount of, you know, how you carry yourself and how you treat others, and a lot of the, you know, the principles that are universal in every religion, but it was just a very lax kind of integration into my life. You know, a lot of what I remember is going to Spirit Rock and running around in the hills before they had a child's program. So my parents would be at day-long, you know, talks and meditation sessions, and me and my friends would just be running around in the hills with this little orphaned lamb that lived on the property. And so I very much grew up in this very spiritual, calm, nature-loving, community-based area. And it has very much formed who I am, how I process, how I think, how I, you know, do pretty much everything. My mom is definitely still a very dedicated Buddhist practitioner. She actually works with a group of nuns who have just recently moved up to Placerville from San Francisco. So it's always just been this huge, never forced part of my life that has been very good to me and very helpful to me, because I've had the opportunity to kind of walk my path of religion and spirituality on my own, but supported by such, you know, a huge realm of it and pretty much every facet of my life.
What did you mean when you said, well, you know, life is life?
Well, you know, just one of the huge principles is that nothing is permanent. Impermanence is the reality. And it can go across the board from, you know, physical pain, emotional pain, something you love. My dogs mean more to me than anything in the world, but I constantly have to remind myself, I can't make Jelly Bean live forever. So it's just, you know, being able to grasp the fact that holding on to things too tightly, no matter what it is, whether it's an idea, a feeling, an anything, all it, you know, really does is hurt you in the end. The tighter you hold on to it and the more you try to make something fit and work is the amount of pain you end up causing yourself. And for me, that's huge. I love things and I love animals, and I very much would love to base my existence and my happiness on things that have nothing to do with me. And I think that's been my struggle for, you know, the last 10 years is just to find that within. And I've done a lot of practice with being able to calm the mind, which is really hard to do. So just being able to sit and be, and thoughts are happening and I'm having fantasies and this is, you know, that's what it is. Like, why is my mind doing this? Can I shut it up? You know, so it's a constant practice and a constant thing that you can work on at any time. And every time I do it, I am reminded of how difficult it is.
Yes, it is difficult, to slow the mind. But you have some practice, and you know it's a tool for you when you need it.
Definitely.
I just wanted to ask about your family, your parents, because I know, Bree, you talked about acceptance now, about your coming out, about who you are. So as far as your relationship goes, how are your parents accepting your union, your coming together as a couple?
I'll go first. Okay. So my mom is, like I said, previous to the show, you know, my mom is kind of, her statement when I told her that I was dating a woman was, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. So my mom is fine with it, very accepting, very open to it. My dad was very accepting, very open to it, thought I'd been dating women for years, but hasn't actually met Bree. So I kind of just dropped a bomb on you, didn't I? I see your face.
So both of your parents or just your father?
Just my father. Okay. My father hasn't met Bree. My parents are divorced. And my father lives with his mother and father, who are in their late 80s, you know, and very much, you know, they're from Virginia, and they very much have an idea of what should be, what a 20-something-year-old woman should be, what everything, essentially, that I am not. So, and my grandfather suffers from dementia. Bad dementia. He doesn't even know, you know, who I am half the time or what's going on. So in talking to my dad about it, you know, he has a lot of anxiety about Bree coming over, and putting her into that situation, where majority of the time my grandfather doesn't even know who we are. And then, you know, I have a lot of anxiety about him dealing with them. I know that I've accepted the fact that I will never be what they think I should be, and no matter what I am, they'll think I should be the opposite. And I kind of take pride in it now. I have tattoos. They hate them. They comment on them every time I come over. So I make sure that my tattoos are showing, just so I can kind of be like, this is how I feel about that. But this is a subject that, you know, it's not my tattoos. It's not my personal choice. It's someone I'm in love with. It's someone I care deeply about. And I know that, you know, they can be very mean and they can be very judgmental. And it's something that I grew up at a very painful time in my life with. And it caused me a lot of suffering. So to put Bree into that situation and have those kind of energies and those judgments, I feel like it's almost a cop-out saying that I don't want to do it. But there's a part of me that genuinely feels like they're both going to pass on before they ever accept me. So why would I let them judge something that's so important to me?
That sounds like you're being smart.
It just sounds like it's something that, you know, no one involved really needs to deal with.
Right.
So that's a very difficult situation. And my dad talk about Bree a lot. We, you know, we'll go to a movie or get coffee, and he, you know, he says he would like to meet her. He just doesn't know what to do, and he has a lot of anxiety about it. But he was probably one of the first people to be like, I thought you've been dating women for years. Like, did you think I wouldn't, like, be okay with this? And I was just like, I don't even know what to do right now. So it's a complex situation. But for the most part, all of my friends, who are almost more of my family than half of my family is, know her and love her, and she's more than accepted and welcomed pretty much in every part of my life that matters.
Beautiful. Wonderful. And what about your parents with Jenny?
Yeah. Well, I kind of have a at least with my dad right now, there's a little bit of space there, and I'm pretty sure that Jenny's met my dad, but there hasn't been a lot of interactions like since we've been together, and that's for my own kind of personal stuff. Like there's some healing that kind of needs to happen there, and but like I said, in terms of like my coming out and all of that stuff, like my dad has always been incredibly loving and accepting and of my relationships, and from my family that has met Jenny and has interacted with Jenny, it's most of the time when I show up, they're like, "Where's Jenny?" Because she's like such a delight. You know? they don't get to see her too often because she's usually working when I like get to go hang out with them, and so they absolutely like totally adore her, and I'm sure they're just kind of thinking like, "Bree better hang on to this one," you know, aww, that we like her and. And so it's kind of the same thing, you know, with the friends of mine she has met. It's kind of the same reaction. I think our biggest contention in terms of the family stuff does have to do, you know, with her dad living with her grandparents and her grandparents not even knowing, and kind of Jenny kind of making this kind of personal empowered situation or decision to not even create a struggle there. I think that's hard just because Jenny working as a vet tech, it's like, you know, she works 10-hour days, 4 days a week, and our schedules are off. So when she goes to go see her dad, it's kind of like, so basically those hours that she's there, it's kind of like a blackout period for us, you know, that it's like we don't get much interaction. So that's been kind of a place of contention and struggle for us. Mm-hmm. In that regard, because I think for me it's
the separation is
it's kind of, I think for me the struggle is for that period of time, it's like for me it stirs up the feeling like I don't exist, and that's where my own stuff comes in, you know. I have had at least two significant relationships that were basically like kept secret. So I have had the experience of being gay and kind of having relationships underground and stuff. So that just kind of stirs up like my own stuff, and I kind of have to work that out. And it's helpful to kind of hear that Jenny and her dad do talk about it, and that it's just kind of the way the situation set up is just how it is. Mm-hmm. But I recognize that I do have my own reactions to it, it feels invalidating and it hurts because it's kind of like, you know, I don't exist. And, mm-hmm. So that can be hard, but mm-hmm. it's something we really talk about, you know, mm-hmm. it's not something that we just kind of pretend isn't happening. Yeah. Right. We don't mm-hmm. pretend it's not happening. Mm-hmm. We like kind of address it. And I'm just aware of like, you know, I kind of have my own feelings about it that actually mm-hmm. have nothing to do with her. It's more of just my own programming and wounding that's like kind of coming up where it's like, okay, Bree, like it's not that you don't exist, here's the gray area, and wow. You know, she still loves me and all that,
so. Exactly. I mean, I have so much to say because of, you know, what you're saying. I mean, to be so self-reflective, you know, at your age, I mean, it's just really impressive, and a lot of people to take ownership of, this is my wounding mm-hmm. that's causing this, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really important work. You both are just, wow, courageous. Thank you so much. And time is just passing by. So
I know.
So to end the relationship part, not to end the relationship part, right. But you know what
it's
I mean.
I didn't know that was part of the contract here.
No. Yeah. But just curious about, like, give us something that, like, you do for fun that makes you laugh together. What is that? You put that serious part aside. What makes you laugh and have fun?
I think one of our biggest struggles is the fact that we both work in such emotionally and a lot of time physically demanding jobs that one of our favorite things to do individually and as a couple is absolutely nothing. If we can lay around and maybe get up once or twice throughout the day for like coffee, a meal, and water and have nothing to do, we're so happy and content. By the end of the day, it's like, oh, We have so much we need to get done in the next 2 hours because the work week starts again. But I think once we get out, I mean, this summer we went up to Tahoe for a week and did hiking, swimming, stuff with our dogs. We went to Outside Lands, the music festival in Golden Gate Park. We went to a show at the Greek Theater. I think anytime we're together, for the most part, once we like take a step back and look at it, we're really enjoying ourselves. It's just finding the time to take a step back and look at it. Because as, you know, Bree said earlier, it's all about go, work more, do this more, make more money. You don't have any money, but make more of it so it can go away faster. So I think that, you know, being able to really appreciate the times that both of us don't have the energy to do anything, and that's okay. And then appreciating the times that we're both like, okay, on the count of three, we have to get up. Actually, that's a lie. It's more like Bree gets up and Jenny like hides under the blankets with all the dogs and Bree drags me out of bed. But once that happens, we're all good. So I think the most important thing for us is just like taking a step back and just realizing where we have the time and when we and what we do with it. It never really turns out badly.
I think that that's, you know, another part of like our own development, that we don't have like set routines exactly on like what we do together or set times. Like my schedule changes every 6 months. Jenny's never changes, but she's, you know, it's pretty full. And you know, Jenny loves being out in nature and just like going and doing all that. I've never really been accustomed to that. So going out into nature isn't like exactly like my like, oh, that's my retreat. Although, you know, I'm working on it. Living out in Guerneville is like is a big step. But yeah, I mean, I think just when we can find like the time to laugh, like I love hearing Jenny laugh. Like I think Jenny's laugh is like totally great. And I love it when I can make her laugh. I think one of the things I absolutely love doing with Jenny that I never thought I'd like doing is watching like the Home and Garden Network.
Oh, yeah.
Like
it's almost embarrassing. Oh, we're kind of addicted.
She like I never was interested in that stuff at all. And like being with Jenny loves like all the old and like, you know, like the houses with culture and like the way they redo it and kind of rehab it. And I was just like, dude, whatever. And now I'm kind of like hooked on it and I'm just like, yeah, like that's what I would want at our house. And so we were just kind of like dreaming of like our dream house and things like that. So yeah.
Oh, you guys are funny. But we do have to have like one last question before we go. And that is, what do you want people to know? Like, if you had, you know, people are listening and this show will be archived and anybody can come and listen to it at any time, anywhere in the world. What advice do you have for young people, for young love, for parents, for grandparents? What do you want people to know?
Am I going to start?
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. We actually tried to talk about this before, and because we're both so stubborn, it, like, turned into a spat because I'm not good at, like, thinking and talking at the same time. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned in my life, and as I said previously, I've struggled with depression and substance abuse issues and never feeling good enough and always wanting to not be seen. I think hiding, not being seen, and escaping has always been like my greatest fantasy. So within the last year, changing a lot of that, dealing with a lot of my depression and my issues and getting sober, I really see how much suffering and how much pain I caused myself being so concerned about what other people thought, whether it be grandparents, parents, you know, especially in high school, worst time of my entire life. Granted, I'm all of 26, but it was absolutely miserable. And it's because I was so affected by other people's opinions. So I think the biggest thing for me, you know, it's not about happiness and not caring. It's just realizing how much suffering someone else can cause you when you let them. And that's my biggest thing, is trying really hard to keep that armor up and not keeping myself closed off, keeping myself open in a sense, but having that force field against the negativity. Because with my, you know, my issues and my history, I am the first person to be like, oh, they think this about me. I need to go cry for 3 days in bed and not move. So I think that's my kind of words of wisdom is it's so easy to let other people's opinions hurt you, but you have to let it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny.
Well said. What about you, Bree? What do you want people to
know? Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely like on board with Jenny. I think what came up for me and what still comes up for me is like I really think like I am a doer and I kind of like kind of put my head down and go. And like I said, it's like, you know, I'm always trying so hard, you know, and then I get to these places where it's like, man, like I'm trying so hard. And I think part of being with Jenny and just the journey I've kind of embarked on is just relaxing and just being, and that sometimes going harder, going faster, trying so hard actually makes it worse. And so I think particularly like people in our scenarios, like, you know, like kind of this you know, so young and like the world feels like your oyster and like, God, what am I going to do? It's like you feel this need to go faster. And for me, it's like slow down. Mm-hmm. It's like be gentle. Be easy. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of been like my catchphrase for a little over a year now. And so that's kind of it is just like be easy. Like when it gets really, really hard, be really easy.
Yeah.
You know? So that's it for me.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Beautiful. I have so much more to ask, but I know we need to end.
So thank you so much, Bree and Jenny, for coming. And I want everyone out there to remember that, like Bree and Jenny, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can help our community be visible and be seen and embraced as vibrant, proud, and courageous. And this is Sheridan and Diana, and we'll be back next month. Until then,
good night.